Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people, dog, is who we are. Who is by yelling, man, I'm kind of working on my raw. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanking. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly
banging. Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, cause I'm strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog. That's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Going hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Life eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross that he bore on his back.
On his
the
back.
Kingdom being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
What's going on, good people? Welcome back to another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. You know who this is, man. This is your host, Tony Dyson. Go ahead and set this show in order for this evening. First of all, I give an honor to God, whom every day I make the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow, to my pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center, to my beautiful wife, and all of you that continue to support week in and week out. What's going on, people? How's your week? How's life for you right now, man? Man, I just thank God for another opportunity to be on the air. You know, the weeks I was off, man, I definitely missed you all. But we back tonight, man. Got some new things going on, man. Some fresh things going on here on Kingdom Talk Radio. And y'all know me, man. I'm not going to be before y'all alone, man. You know, I'm just here for a point of time, and I'm going to get on about your way tonight. Don't forget, man, I'm always playing your new music. I'm always playing your new music. You can hit me up by email at KingdomTalkRadioShow@gmail.com. Also, you can hit up the Facebook page. Just look up Kingdom Talk Radio Show. Kind of made it easy, man. They made me change my name. You can call in live tonight if you're streaming. 347-996-5129. Got new music by Jay Radford going on tonight. I'm doubling back, man, playing some more from Jay Lanier. I mean, so we got a great show going on for you tonight, man. Tonight, the show is just going to be about poverty, man. The last couple of weeks, those of you who are friends with me on Facebook, you might have seen some peculiar post that I've been throwing up. And let me set this straight now, before people start asking or before I have any problems or issues or whatever the case may be. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God 100%. You know what I'm saying? I believe in God. I believe in his kingdom. There are some things that are going on that have happened, you know, whether it's been to me personally or some things that I've seen or some things that I've witnessed, you know what I'm saying, that kind of has me challenging the way we're living as God's people, mentally, physically, financially, you know what I'm saying? There are some challenges for us right now, man. And the thing is that the thing about a challenge is unless it's addressed, a challenge will continue to rule in your life. it would continue to be a setback. It would continue to be a downfall, a stronghold. And that's, you know, not what I believe God wants out of us. So, you know, if you're my Facebook friend and you start to see these challenges take place, like, for instance, on yesterday, I believe one of the posts that I put up was, you know, the church, as in the building, the brick and mortar, doesn't save. And the thing is that people have misinterpreted it to where if you just come to church, then you're all good. Just coming to church on a Sunday is not going to do you any good. There's a lifestyle, a mindset that has to take place, that there's a full change that needs to take place in your life. And the thing is that if all you're doing is coming to church on Sundays, you're doing yourself a grave injustice. Because there's a whole lifestyle, there's a whole mindset that is waiting for you to take up, to stand up and take your place and rule. And the thing is that on the flip side of this equation, contrary, but if someone is not in church Sunday in and Sunday out, and every program and every dedication and every this and every that, it doesn't mean that they're no less saved, that they've backslid, or that their salvation has been lost, or, you know, that they just wilding out, you know what I'm saying, doing what they want to do. The thing is, you know, God calls us in many different shape, forms, and fashions. My path may not be your path. Your path may not be the next person's path. Who are we to judge what God has in store and the path God has taken us on? At the end of the day, the word says, by their fruit will you know them. So regardless of what path that God has set you on in particular, what fruit are you showing? What fruit are you producing? All right? So remember that. So check this out, man. This is a song that I played, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, man. It's called We Got That Light by Jay Lanier. We'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk on Blog Talk very, very shortly. Here we go. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah.
We got the juice, we got the light, got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright. We got the juice, we got the light, got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. My face will be shining like this. His mercy and grace got me shining like this. We be in his presence. We gon' give him reverence. We be keto flexing. I say we're top of blessing.
We got the juice. We got the light.
We got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright. We got the juice. We got the light. We got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah.
Right, yeah.
We got enough to be shining bright. We
got the juice, we got that line, we got enough, we shot a brand. Light it up and hit the switch. Is it got enough, got us looking lit? Is it got enough, got our spirits rich? Men are called but feel pit, cause Elohim, the holy king. Whole team got kerosene, walking, talking, triple beam. It's Christ over everything. We got the juice, we got that light, we got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright. We got the juice, we got the light. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah. Got enough to be shining bright. We got the juice, we got the light. Got enough to be shining bright, yeah.
Once again, y'all, that was Jay Lanier. Well, we got that light. Check him out, man, if you already haven't. All right, man, this is a little thing that I've been doing. I started doing last week, man. My boy Darren Johnson, man, has been really putting it down. Let's go take a trip, man, with Can I Holler at You? We'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I heard we live on the air. I heard it's that time for Kingdom Talk, so I just want to know, can I holler at you? So this week, what I want to talk about briefly is I just really want to know, is being right big enough for the fight? I want y'all to really think about that. Is the fact of you being right, is it worth the fight? What do I mean? What I'm saying is there's a whole lot of things that people are debating about, arguing about, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's on our job, whether it's with our family members. It's a whole lot of people at odds right now that if you just really stopped and thought about it, you really shouldn't even be arguing about. But the only point and reason why you're arguing is you're so bent on being right that you have failed to even recognize it's not really worth it, that the casualties of war are greater than the whole purpose of the battle. You're so willing to sacrifice the things that are important just for you to say, ah, but I got your man. Like if y'all play chess, you know, if you know somebody that plays chess, a novice versus, you know what I'm saying, somebody who is just, they bought that life. Okay. Well, you know, you're not going to sacrifice certain players to get a rook. I'm not going to give up my queen to get a rook. You understand what I'm saying? But in this thing called life, there are certain pieces that are valuable to protecting our kingdom, to protecting our home. Similar to how all those pieces on a chessboard protect the king. And yet and still, what we've done is we're willing to sacrifice and give up those important pieces for something of little or no value just to say, aha, I'm right. So what I'm asking everybody to do is just to consider the scriptures. You know, there's you can really take sin and you could, if you had to take a book and make three chapters, sin would break down in one of these three chapters. Either lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Keyword pride. The reason why you arguing with some of your family members and you ain't spoke to them in so long, pride. Well, yeah, that used to be such and such, but we don't talk like that no more. Pride. Pride has destroyed some of the greatest people in history. It has torn apart family members. It has separated husband from spouse. It is divvied like really not too many other things can. And so what I want everybody to really focus on this week is let's step away from pride. Unless we talking about the safari and Lion King and Mufasa, I don't want to talk about pride. Let's leave pride alone. Because of pride, our young men and women are dying in these streets because they want to prove how bad they are. Because of pride, we're beefing and banging with the police because we want to show we ain't no punk. You ain't going to talk to me like that. My daddy don't talk to me like that. pride. Somebody gonna get laid off tonight and walk home and have to tell their spouse that they're unemployed because they couldn't shut their mouth and do what their employer asked them to do because of pride. I want everybody to take a second and think about what pride has cost you in 2016. I want you to think about what pride cost you back in 2015. And you can go as far back as your brain can remember. And then ask yourself, was it worth risking the pieces that were to protect the kingdom on your personal chessboard? And if your answer is no, then ask yourself in 2017, will I let pride be a part of my everyday life? How will I eradicate it from my life? How will I get rid of it? How will I ensure that my kids don't go down the same path and they don't act like me? How will I make certain that I don't have to keep saying things like, well, that's just how I am, and you know how I am, or, you know, our people, you know how I'm is. How are we going to get rid of that? So I want everybody to just focus on that. My 5 minutes is up. I thank y'all for y'all time. Any feedback, any ideas, thoughts, please open and share them with us. Look, I'm just an empty vessel. I'm just simply asking, can I holler at you?
Pentecost.
Together in one place, one accord, one worship, one praise, and suddenly a wind from heaven came, but so violently filled up the house and the whole room entirely, and divided tongues of fire, rested on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them that utterance, as the Spirit gave them that
Pentecost.
Receiving the Holy Ghost is more.
My bad, y'all. I was caught up in the music. That was Pentecost, man, by my boy Aaron Vickens, a.k.a. Bishop Nelson, man. Huge shout-out to you, man. So, y'all, check this out, man. Once again, I want to thank Darren Johnson, man, for the Can I Holler At You segment. So, tune in every Tuesday night, man, for his 5 minutes of fame, man. Definitely not. But it's actually 5 minutes of food, man. So, you know, the appetizer before we really get into it here on Kingdom Talk Radio. All right, y'all. So, tonight we're going to talk about poverty. And before I even get into it, let's talk about the definition of poverty. And I know this definition is really going to set off the convo. Poverty, state or condition of having little or no money, goods, or means of support. Condition of being poor. Deficiency of necessary or desirable ingredients, qualities. Huh. So, my people, the Bible teaches that Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. Now, I've said this, you know, within the 4 to 5 years that Kingdom Talk has been on the air, abundance does not always mean tangible items. We could be abundant in spirit, abundant in joy, you know what I'm saying, abundant in wellness. You know, there are other things that we could be abundant in and not just money and items. But this is the thing, man. I am noticing a certain deficiency running around in the kingdom right now. And I talked about this a few months ago, which is the spirit of lack. If we say that Christ came to give us life more abundantly, why are we operating in the spirit of lack? If Christ gives us all that we need, we say that we're filled. I mean, say that with me. Somebody say we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, how can we be operating in deficiency? But if you look at the church as a whole, you look at the body of Christ as a whole, sick, angry, broke, sad. Where's the Christ in that? Clicked up, leaving certain people to fend for themselves. And at some point, we have to wonder what is really being taught. I need to pull up my phone here, man. I was looking at this article, a Jewish person that was being interviewed, and by no means, and if you're friends with me on Facebook, I actually shared it. And by no means did I take this article to be racist in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It was actually very disturbing, but truth-telling at the same time. The name of the articles is Why Blacks Are Behind Economically. So the interview was asking, why are blacks behind economically? The Jewish leader states, the only aspect blacks understand is consumption. Blacks don't understand the importance of building wealth. The fundamental rule is to keep your money within your racial group. We build Jewish businesses, hire Jewish, buy Jewish, spend Jewish. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a basic rule blacks cannot comprehend and follow. He kills his fellow blacks daily instead of wanting to see his fellow blacks do well. 93% of blacks killed in America are by other blacks. Their leaders steal and send the money back to their original master from whom they borrowed the same money from. Again, every successful black want to spend his money in the country of his colonial masters. They go on holidays abroad, buy houses abroad, schools abroad, instead of spending money in their own community to benefit their people. Statistics show that the Jews' money exchanges hands 18 times before leaving that community. While for blacks, it is probably a maximum of once or even if it circulates at all. Only 6% of the black money goes back into the community. This is why Jews are at the top and blacks are at the bottom of every ladder of society. Instead of buying Louis Vuitton, expensive cars, shoes, houses, dresses, blacks industrialized Africa. Blacks could industrialize Africa, build banks, and get rid of colonial institutions by putting them out of business. The interviewer says, your thoughts on failure of blacks after 150 years. The leader once again says, well, nothing is ever the black man's fault. His compulsive habit of killing his own, compulsive material consumption, his inability to build business and preserve wealth are usually somebody else's fault. The interviewer asks once again, so what can blacks do to liberate themselves? The Jewish leader concludes, blacks must take responsibility. Blacks must unite and fight corrupt leaders who run down their country and run down their community. And once again, y'all, I didn't take that to be racial at all whatsoever. I took it as a bite into a lemon. Like, wow. This is how we're seen. We're seen as consumers, not builders, not growers. The black community is seen as consumers only. Think about it. Many times, we are so focused on liabilities, houses, jewelry, Jordans, liabilities. We're running around with $3,500 rims on a $1,500 car, wearing a pair of $250 shoes with $800 worth of metal in our mouth, and occasionally $400 or $500 in our ears, but no life insurance. To where we can set the next generation up. Many times we increase our liabilities from companies that are not in our own neighborhoods. We travel to get 22% car loans. We travel to get payday loans. We travel outside of our communities. And I know someone is saying, well, there's nothing like that in our community. That's why we have to travel. I don't want to say whose problem, but whose fault? The quickest way to drive a business out of your neighborhood is to boycott the business. If there's a business that pops up in your neighborhood and you don't support it, go to your local alderman meeting. But now we're operating even in the church in poverty. Let's be real. When was the last time, and I'm not saying all churches, so please don't think that I'm just sitting here on my little soapbox, you know what I'm saying, like just trying to blast pastors and churches. But when was the last time your church actually had a meeting, a gathering, a session to see who all did not have life insurance or who all does? As I said it a few weeks ago, GoFundMe and crowdfunding is our new life insurance. And even on that particular show, I said, you know, say if you had to raise $10,000 for that funeral, GoFundMe is going to take their 3% when you cash out, so you out of $350. And in actuality, that $350 you could have put in on the premium over time. So someone else is consciously getting rich off of our ignorance. I was talking to an individual that had life insurance. Only a couple of thousand, about $3,000 or $4,000 worth of life insurance. And they said that a family member paid $3 in life insurance over the course of about 20 years. $43 a month. 10 months, that's $430. 2 months to spare. 10 years, that's $4,300. And that person told me that when that family member passed, that family member cashed in that policy, that they only got $3,500 for a $5,000 policy that they had been paying for almost 20 years. If you really want to know the scoop, go back and listen to, I think 2 weeks ago, the show about life insurance and all that. But what I'm gathering is this. We have to navigate our ways into positions that's going to propel us forward in life. We can walk around with this Bible with crosses on, burnt into our foreheads, talking about how good God is and how great God is, but we have no stake in the claim. We're the brokest. We're the sickest. We're the most uneducated. We're the most unthoughtful. And I'm not saying everybody, but what I'm saying is the vast majority of y'all. You know what? All right. Let's go ahead and pull the veil back. And my wife is listening, so I'm about to keep it really real. Well, she always listens. But so I said that to let you know that what I'm getting ready to say, it ain't no just, you know, stuff. Income tax time is coming. A lot of us can't wait. Usually, I'm one of them. Can't wait to try to get ahead. Can't wait to pay this down and pay this off and do this and do that. And then you start to think back like, dang, I said that last year. Dang, I said that the year before. Dang, I said that the year before that. What can I do different with my money this time? That next year this time, it'll be different. There are abandoned buildings in our neighborhoods that a few of us can come together and buy and start a business. But what's the first issue we're going to run into? Where the money go? The little article I just read, the Jews say that they build their own businesses. See, all right, check this out. Say you want to open up a cleaners. All right. So you open up a cleaners. Cleaners is open. The neighborhood starts to patronize and support that cleaners. Now someone says, hey, I want to have my own restaurant. Okay. So the cleaners opened up in the neighborhood, which now created jobs for that neighborhood. Now the restaurant is going to open up once the cleaner is up and flourishing, and the thought process is that as that cleaner is up and flourishing, that cleaner put some of the front money up and people come together with more money to fund the restaurant. The cleaners and restaurant have a pact together. Hey, the cleaners is like, hey, we go press and iron your uniforms. You know what I'm saying? The restaurant is like, all right, we go provide y'all lunch. I mean, of course, it's not for free because it's a business, but it could be at a discount. Then someone decides, like, hey, I want to start a delivery business. So once the restaurant is up and going, they fund the delivery business, which means now that delivery business can now deliver food to any other places inside or outside of that neighborhood, also can deliver food to the cleaners, and also can deliver clothes from the cleaners back to the restaurant, and also deliver clothes to the people. And all that has been self-funded. It really hit me when the article said that we are consumers. It's like y'all, please, I am not trying to call bull dogs. I'm using this as an example. It's like a dog that has been starved for so long. And no matter how much food you put in front of that dog, you can have a little bitty dog and put a big pile of food, and that little dog is going to eat until it makes itself sick and probably end up wasting most of the food by regurgitating. A lot of us have been so broke-minded and broke-spirited and on a level of poverty that when we get a large sum in our hands, we're like that dog. We're regurgitating it. We're losing it. We want to see our community do better. We need to start taking charge in our communities, in the upkeep, buying these, y'all, I mean, like, real talk, and I'm just really looking at it. There are buildings in your community that you've been driving past for the last 4 years, and that business or that building has just been sitting there. The summer comes and goes, the grass and the weeds get high, and then that municipality is taking your tax dollars and paying to get that grass cut. So not only is that building not generating any revenue, it's costing. Plan together, or a few, petition the municipality, hey, this building has been sitting here for 4 years. What's going on with it? Well, the owner wants $1.2 million. Oh, really? How is that helping the city? It's not collecting any rent. Needs to be painted, repaved. It's not collecting any tax dollars. It's not generating any revenue. How do you think these big corporations, when they come to cities, get these tax dollars and these TIF dollars? Because the land is worth so much. Building the project is going to cost so much. But the corporation is like, we not finna put that much into it. So y'all finna front us this for us to redevelop that. How come we can't apply the same principle in our own municipalities? Hey, owner, this building's been sitting here. You say it's worth $1.2 million. What are you collecting on it monthly? Nothing. So let us get it for a year for $500. Well, it's $1,200, but you're not getting anything right now, and you haven't been for the last 4 years. And now we have a stake in the community. And I'm not saying every church out there is not thinking along these lines. I said, occupy until I come. That means do business. The word even calls us children in the marketplace while transfers are going on above our heads. But we steady operate in deficiency. Don't have enough. All I want is be some Jesus and I'll be fine. I hear you. But I want some of that abundant life now. Don't you? My wife always says something to me, and it really sticks. She says, honey, I want us to be to the point, and don't have to be rich, just comfortable. To where if we walk past a pair of shoes in the store that may be on sale, that we can get them now. Versus then we get the money and they're back up, you know, 50, 60 bucks from their original price. To where our kids see something, and we can go get it. We don't have to tell the kids, well, we're going to have to wait to payday. Wow. That's huge, man. How many of our churches put together budgeting classes? Look for grants. Look for things that's going to help out the church. Some churches are barely existing themselves, and they can't do anything for the community. You go to the church for help, the church will say, well, we still need help too. We can't pick and choose when to apply God's principles. Genesis 1:26, and God created man in his image and his likeness. And God said, let man have dominion. Dominion. Rulership. Authority. But we're so busy being slaves in the mind. We're so busy consuming and not investing. The average person, if God forbid, if they was to die right now, they're going to leave way more bills than they do wealth. Myself being in the banking industry now, I see so much. I see so much on how other cultures set their kids up. I watched a couple come in a couple of weeks ago and start a interest savings bank account for a 8-month-old baby and started off with $800. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be adding to it until this child gets 18. If not older. Can you imagine? I mean, like, seriously. How many of us can put our hands on $800 right now? Even collectively. And I'm asking, where's the church right now? Claim this God's green earth. Claim we're part of God's kingdom. That we're ambassadors. What rules are we enforcing? I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of God. An ambassador from one country or one land goes to another land and transforms that land to look like home. He enforces their rules. He enforces their policies. So if we claim that heaven is our home, we say it in the prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ain't no poverty in heaven, man. We don't want to learn how to play the game, man, so we don't know how the rules work. We don't know how to take classes on investments and see in the next month or two we're finna have all these tax time ballers. Tell me, what use is it if you don't have a job and you get government assistance, then you go and file taxes and go buy a new car and can't pay the note? You just regurgitate it. We're taking our money, giving it right back, and then going to get a payday loan so they can loan us back our own money. Yeah, I'm speaking from a victim perspective as well. Start looking around. What debts can we alleviate? What can we do better? what things are unnecessary. I understand we walk out of our house every day and want to go, you know what I'm saying, get what we want for a change, and yes, that's fine and dandy. But the thing is, people, is when we stand before someone trying to tell them how good God is, the first thing they're going to do is look at us. Now, somebody's throwing up there, don't judge a book by its cover, but people. Put it to you like this. Would you let a homeless person tell you where to go buy a house? Would you let an unemployed person tell you where to go find a job? Because if you had so much expertise, why aren't you in that position? I don't know about you all, man, but some things are really coming to light right now. Healthcare, you know, is getting ready to be a fiasco. You gotta try to get it now. After healthcare goes, life insurance, education. It's coming to it, people. And I asked again, where's the church? Where are we investing? It just makes sense. And y'all know how I am, man. I refuse to believe, man, that the same Christ that raised Lazarus. Now, check this out, man. I didn't post this. Or did I post this? I don't know, y'all. When Jesus found out that Lazarus was dead, Jesus came back to the tomb and Lazarus had already begun to stink. Hey, somebody grab the line. I'm shining the flashlight this way. Follow me. When Jesus approached Lazarus' tomb, Lazarus was dead. He could not speak. Jesus didn't ask Lazarus, hey, Lazarus, you believe, even though you're dead, do you believe in me? Jesus spoke. Lazarus came forth bound. Whatever situation that you're in right now, beat life to it. No matter how much you're weighed down, no matter how you're bound up or wrapped up, or how bad your situation stinks, you can cast it off, man. Sometimes we're worried about if people are saved or not. There are some honest people out there that are doing honest business that are not saved. That's between them and whoever they believe in. The word says, occupy until I come. Of course, keep your salvation and your integrity intact. But there are some people in your life that are watching you, that are seeing you, and they may not believe what you believe and how you believe it, but they see your integrity, and they're willing to go above and beyond just because you are who you are. And at the end of the day, man, we don't have to run around with a Bible under our arms, scriptures tattooed everywhere. We go do business until Christ comes back. The spirit of poverty has kept us down for far too long. Our mindset has to change. We have to see greater now. We have to see better now. As your tax dollars come in or get ready, are you ready to prepare? I'm not saying not to pay off any debts. Something that's keeping you, you know, so that's reoccurring, knock it out. Put yourself in a better financial position. For instance, if you had a credit card bill, knock it out. And that money that you was paying every month for the credit card bill, put it to the side. Save it. You know what I'm saying? Something so simple. Money talks. The word even says it. Money answereth all things. Spirit of poverty needs to let go of us, people. As I move forward with Kingdom Talk Radio, man, this is the type of stuff that we will continue to talk about. Real life stuff, man, that's going to get us ahead in the kingdom of God. I look at all the different ministries running around, all the different churches that are half full and a quarter full and semi-full. 8 members, 2 are ushers, the other 5 singing a choir, so the pastor is really preaching to nobody. Not saying these churches are not Holy Ghost filled, but the thing is that when are we going to come together? 4, 5, 8 different churches on the same block with rundown houses, and those churches can't come together, put money together, buy that house and make it transitional housing? What? Hey, but that's just my thoughts, man. Tell you what, I got a brand new caller on the line tonight, man, calling from the 804. Your last 4 is 9124. You're live on Kingdom Talk Radio. Good evening.
What's up, brother? I'm not brand new, man. What's up, dude?
Who is this?
This Orlando, man.
Oh, what up, my bro?
What's up, man?
All right, for those of you all who do not know, this is Orlando from Maryland, a great brother that I've partnered with, Unify Reach Network, man, URN Network, which I'm happily proud of. So when y'all see other shows scheduled on Kingdom Talk Radio platform, this is the brother, man. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I had to most definitely call in. I listened to the show last week when you were talking about life insurance and everything, and then when you posted that you're going to be speaking on poverty, I had to listen in, and definitely, man, I'm feeling it 100%. It's time to change our minds, man. It's time to change our communities. It's time to, you know, lace up those bootstraps and move forward. So I definitely agree with you 100%.
That's what's up, bro. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Love you, bro.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And the man of the hour, Mr. Let Me Holler At You himself. What's going on, bro? He may be busy. Darren, you there? All right. He probably tied up, wrapped up, driving, or whatever the case may be. God bless you, bro. So, y'all, this is what we going to do, man. Quick prayer. We're going to be up out of here. This poverty thing is going to stick with me for a minute, man. Over the next few weeks, man, I actually want to do things, man, bring people on that's able to enhance our lives, business owners, man, to give us some type of direction, investors, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be. And by me working in the banking industry, you know, there's only so much I can solicit over the phone now or, you know, whatever we actually have to meet in person. But I'll give some pointers. Praise God, man. Let's go before the throne in prayer. Don't forget, next Tuesday, man, Mark Ant is releasing his new single. We're going to be doing giveaways, so tune in for that, man. It's going to be great. Father God in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for who you are in another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. We thank you for all that continue to support. Lord, we ask that our mindsets continue to be changed and you continue to lift us up out of poverty thinking, oh God. We ask right now, oh God, that our ways become your ways, and we do what you would have us to do, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you just for getting us back home safe. We thank you for wrapping us in your arms of protection. Lord, we pray for every leader, every church, every alderman, every governor, every president, every mayor, every council person. Oh God, we pray for their safety. Lord, we especially pray for our president right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just say thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Always remember, man, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. We probably going to continue this conversation next week about poverty, man. So y'all tune in. Once again, it's Tony Dyson, man. Kingdom Talk Radio. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Taking us out tonight is Jay Radford with Slay and Pray. Hey, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. Until next time, and I'm out of here.
If I had you today, I wouldn't trade you for anything.
It ain't nothing.